Rorik should have been with us, but he was sick that day, and the women were plucking herbs and chanting spells.
"He's often sick," Ragnar said. "Not like Ragnar."
He meant his eldest son, who helped hold on to Ivar's lands in Ireland.
"Ragnar built like an ox," he went on. "Never gets sick. He's like you, Uhtred."
He smiled, thinking of his eldest son, whom he missed. "He'll take land and thrive. But Rorik? Perhaps I shall have to give him this land. He can't go back to Denmark."
"Why not?"
"Denmark is bad land," Ragnar explained. "It's either flat and sandy, and you can't grow a fart on that sort of field. Or across the water, it's great steep hills with little patches of meadow, where you work like a dog and starve."
"Across the water?" I asked.
And he explained that the Danes came from a country that was divided into two parts, and the two parts were surrounded by countless islands, and that the nearer part from where he came was very flat and very sandy, and that the other part, which lay to the east, across a great sound of water, was where the mountains were.
"And there are Sveyr there too," he went on.
"Sveyr?"
"A tribe, like us. They worship Thor and Odin, but they speak differently," he shrugged. "We get along with the Sveyr and with the Norse."
The Sveyr, the Norse, and the Danes were the Northmen, the men who went on Viking expeditions. But it was the Danes who had come to take my land, though I did not say that to Ragnar. I had learned to hide my soul. Or perhaps I was confused. Northumbrian or Dane? Which was I? What did I want to be?
"Suppose," I asked, "that the rest of the English do not want us to stay here."
I used the word us deliberately.
He laughed at that. "The English can want what they like, but you saw what happened at Jorvik."
That was how the Danes pronounced Jofurik. For some reason they found that name difficult, so they said Jorvik instead.
"Who was the bravest English fighter at Jorvik?" Ragnar asked.
"You, a child. You charged me with that little sax. It was a gutting knife, not a sword, and you tried to kill me." I almost died laughing. He leaned over and cuffed me affectionately.
"Of course the English don't want us here," he went on. "But what can they do? Next year we'll take Mercia, then East Anglia, and finally Wessex."
"My father always said Wessex was the strongest kingdom," I said. My father had said nothing of the sort. Indeed, he despised the men of Wessex because he thought them effete and overpious. But I was trying to provoke Ragnar. I failed.
"It's the richest kingdom," he said. "But that doesn't make it strong. Men make a kingdom strong, not gold."
He grinned at me.
"We're the Danes. We don't lose, we win.
And Wessex will fall."
"It will?"
"It has a new weak king," he said dismissively. "And if he dies, then his son is a mere child. So perhaps they'd put the new king's brother on the throne instead.
We'd like that."
"Why?"
"Because the brother is another weakling. He's called Alfred."
Alfred. That was the first time I ever heard of Alfred of Wessex. I thought nothing of it at the time. Why should I have?
"Alfred," Ragnar continued scathingly. "All he cares about is rotting girls, which is good.
Don't tell Sigrid I said that.
But there's nothing wrong with unsheathing the sword when you can. But Alfred spends half his time rotting and the other half praying to his god to forgive him for rotting. How can a god disapprove of a good hump?"
"How do you know about Alfred?" I asked.
"Spies, Uhtred. Spies. Traders, mostly. They talk to folk in Wessex. So we know all about King Ethelred and his brother Alfred. And Alfred's sick as a stoat half the time."
He paused, perhaps thinking of his younger son who was ill.
"It's a weak house," he went on, "and the West Saxons should get rid of them and put a real man on the throne. Except they won't. And when Wessex falls, there will be no more England.